Hey, good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a good day so far. Let's turn our Bible to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Let's read this: supplication for deliverance and grateful trust in God. For the choir director, according to Jonath Elam Rehokim, a Mikdam of David, when the Philistines seized him in Gath. Be gracious, O God, for man has trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, for there are many who fight proudly against me. When I'm afraid, I will put my trust in thee, in God, whose word I praise. In God I put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? All day long they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack, they lurk. They watch my steps, and as they have waited to take my life because of wickedness, cast them forth. In anger, put down the peoples, O God. Thou hast taken account of my wanderings. Put my tears in the bottle, in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Thy vows are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings to thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. Amen. If you want a little picture of the timeline of what's happening here. This is David, obviously, and this is recorded that this happens at 1 Samuel chapter 21, 10 to 15. And this is when David is fleeing, and he ends up basically to the king of the king of Gath, and he's captured there in Gath, or he finds himself in Gath. And if you remember the story, it's really a crazy story. But he is afraid of the king, and so he basically acts like he's crazy. And because of that, he's basically rescued. And then he arrives in the cave of Adullam, and this is kind of what happens there. And so this is a recording of exactly what's happening and what goes on during that time. And so we just continue on. It says, be gracious to me, O God, for man has trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, and there are many who fight proudly against me. And so he's really laying out the condition of what's happening to him at this place. And he's looking to the grace of God to really help him. Enemies have surrounded him, and that's basically what's happened. He's actually, I mean, can you imagine how difficult it must be? He's actually has to flee to the Philistines. He has to flee to his enemies. That's how bad his situation is in Israel, that it's safer for him to be in the presence of his arch enemy than actually to be in Israel. And so that's the situation that David finds himself in. And he's just surrounded. All kinds of different things are happening all around. And I mean, it's pretty amazingly difficult situation for David to be in. He's alone. He's depressed. He's desperate. And he's afraid. And he's not really thinking that clearly in this time. And so we have this idea. And so. And verse 3 really kind of sets off all that's going on within him. And look what he says. He says, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. In God, whose word I praise, in God I put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? And notice the word that he gives here. And this is really quite, he says, when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in God. You can see here that faith and fear actually are coexisting at the same time. He's deathly afraid, and he should be. But yet, in the midst of that fear, faith is rising up. And so you can see fear and faith actually coexist with each other. And we may think a lot of times that that's not really the case. We may think that you either are faithful or you're fearful. We look at what's happening here in our city right now. I woke up this morning to the news, you know, that 11-month-old actually died. I mean, how tragic can that be? And now, as a result, many people in Hong Kong are so fearful. And so how about the believer? Can fear and faith coexist? Can you be so fearful of COVID and still have such faith in God? And most of us would think, no, those things are kind of opposites of each other. But in David, it seems to coexist. There's fear upon a situation, but then faith begins to arise within him. It's not faith when fear is gone. And you can see kind of the reactions of, and maybe this is kind of how it works. Maybe the fear and the faith, or the faith, you know, arises out of the fear, maybe because of what you do. Now, when you think about this, a lot of times when we fear, we have vices or ways that we handle our fears. And some of them could be complaining. Sometimes they could be anger, or they could be worrying. There could be other vices of gambling, drinking, binging on Netflix, you know, I mean, whatever it may be. There may be a lot of different ways that we handle our fears. But notice the way David did. David had all this. He says, I'm afraid, but I'm going to put my trust in you. And this is what he does. He says in verse 4, in God, whose word I praise. And so David goes back to the word of God, and the word of God assures him that God will take care of him. The word of God assures him that he is not forgotten. The word of God assures him that he is favored of God. And so, and out of that place, he comes to that place of praise. And we see how powerful it is for us to praise the Lord, how important it is for us to praise him, to have a life of worship, because that's what brings us from that place of fear and moves us into that place of faith in this way. And this is, he gets basically into trust and sound thinking, because he asked the question, what can man do to me? What can mere man, or the translation is, what can flesh do to me? And you have to think, and obviously this is talking about an eternal perspective. This is talking about not just your life here on earth, but also in heaven. And as he goes through this thought process, he goes into this word, he's reminded in his word that God loves him, that God is with him, that God is for him. And then he starts praising in that moment. And then he gets into his sound mind. And he says, what can mere man do to me in this way? And then he goes back to the enemies in verse 5. He says, all day long they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack, they lurk. They watch my steps. They have waited to take my life. Because of wickedness, cast them forth in anger, put down the peoples, O God. And this is what evil does around us. They distort. The word distort is derived from a root word that means like it's a laborious, toilsome, unrewarding act. This is basically a plot that basically is meant to undo whatever the godly man has spoken and has planned to do that is right. And so this is an orchestrated attack against David. They take even his words and they distort his words, and they make his words seem to be something that it's not. That's not what David intended. That's not what the godly man intended at all. And that's what they do. They take every word that comes out of his mouth, twisting and turning. This distortion that takes place, they attack, they lurk, the word attack is really meaning they stir up strife, they stir up enmity against David, and this is what evil people do, and this is why gossip is a part of this. If you've ever been in the firing line of this, of this kind of attack, you've experienced it. You know, every word that you say is taken to a whole nother degree that's never intended or not even spoken of by the person, but it's a distortion. And this is what the enemy does. And this is what evil people do in this way. And this is a common warfare among the ungodly. They take language and they make it something gruesome and evil, and it's not fair in so many different ways. But that's what basically what happens. And so he says, Lord, you see their wickedness, cast them down. In other words, pay them back for the evil by which they're operating from in this place. And he says, and then he turns again. So you can notice that he's like talks about himself. He talks about what's going on around him. Then he goes back to himself. And this seems to be kind of David's kind of pattern here. And then verse 8, he says something quite beautiful. He says, Lord, you've taken account of my wanderings. You put my tears in your bottle. And are they not in your book? And you see this, he says, Lord, you're watching me. You know, the wanderings, he's been wandering away from Israel. You know, he'll wander from Nob, and then he'll get to Adullam, and, you know, back and forth. And these things, he'll be wandering for a while. And he says, Lord, you know, you've taken into account my wandering. Like, you know what's going on. You see what's happening here. And he says, you put my tears in your bottle. This was an ancient custom that what would happen is that when someone passed away or when someone died, the tears that you weeped and you shed for the death of this person, you would actually put into some container. It was usually put it into small vials. It was either made of glass or pottery or some kind of other hard-baked clay or whatever it may be. These small vials were called lacrimatories or urnae lacrimes. And so these were basically, when they collected these tears, they offered them on the tombs of the deceased. And so he's making reference to this ancient pattern. And basically what he's saying is, my tears are in your bottle. And so you have stored up all of these tears. You know, he counts all of these tears. He treasures these tears, and in a way of saying that my tears are not going to go to waste. They have had an effect on you, oh God. It was a way for them to honor the dead in ancient times, and it's in a way that David is saying, Lord, you remember the hardships that I've gone through. You remember the tears that I've shed in this place, and so. And so he's laying out that, Lord, you see me, you see what's going on. Let me go to the end of verse 9. This says, then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. In other words, you see, you remember. And then in that moment, when I call, you're going to answer. It says, this I know, that God is for me. This is the strength that David has, because, you know, I mean, let's be honest, a lot of times when times get difficult, a lot of times when times circumstances don't look very good for us, many of us think that, you know, we ask this question, God, where are you? How can you do this to me? And David, in the midst of his difficulty, he says, Lord, you are with me. You have not rejected me. You are not angry with me, God. You, God, it says that God is for me. This I know, that God is for me. And that's where all of his confidence, that's where in the midst of fear, faith begins to arise. That's what he knows, that he remembers his tears. And when he calls, he'll act, because he knows God is for me. I mean, what a huge difference next time we go through difficulties that we have that idea to begin with, is say that, God, you are for me. Lord, you're not against me. It reminds me of Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, then Paul asks the question, then who can be against us? And so David is coming to the reality, Lord, you are for me. And so who can be against me? You know, how can I be wallowing in this fear in this way? The basis of his confidence is that he knew that God was for him. And in fact, I mean, he even has so much faith in this. Let me read this on. He says, in God, whose word I praise. So he goes back to this place that he said earlier in the psalm, in the Lord, whose word I praise. In God, I put my trust. I shall not be afraid. Again, he says, well, what can man, what can flesh do to me? He's stirring up his himself up in this place of faith. And he says, I put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? He renders this before the Lord. And so this is the act of faith. And it says, thy vows are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings to thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. And so what he's saying is, well, I can't be in the temple right now. I can't be in the holy place. And so I'm going to thank you in advance before I get to that place of giving the thanksgiving offering to the Lord. And so he's basically saying, thank you, God, for my deliverance. I'm going to come to the temple and properly offer a thanksgiving offering. But since I can't get into Jerusalem right now, I'm going to offer thanks to you in advance. And this is a really good habit that we should have. And, you know, it's a prayer of faith. It's thanking God. And I'll do this a lot of times. I say, Lord, I just thank you in advance that you're going to do this and you're going to bless and you're going to answer this. And I just want to just thank you in advance right now, God. It's the prayer of faith. And you can see how he's moved from that place of fear. Now he's totally overcome. He's in the place of faith. He says, Lord, my vows are binding upon me, O God, and I will render thanksgiving offerings to thee. I'm gonna thank you in advance. Lord, what I say is binding. I'm going to thank you in advance for what you're going to do. How are you going to rescue me out of this situation? And we know that that's exactly what happens. He totally gets rescued in this place in this way by acting like a madman, which is really a crazy situation. But God rescues him. And we know the story that he eventually goes back to the throne and with a greater trust in God and a greater appreciation of what he has. And God really just begins to move upon him in a really amazing way. And so let's close our eyes. Let's go before the Lord. This is such a timely word for many of us here in this city that are worried, especially parents that are worried about their young children. Let faith arise out of that fear. Let Christ and what Christ has done for us, let it settle in our hearts, the love of God, and let it move our hearts to move in that place of faith. And let's thank him in advance for what he wants to do and is about to do. Let's pray. Let's just really give our emotions, our fears, our desperation to the Lord. I mean, think about David. He was alone. He was desperate. He wasn't thinking very clearly in the midst of this time. He was confused, and yet God came through for him. When I'm afraid, I will trust. Verse 11, in God I put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? And as I believe it's Nate is going to lead us in a time of worship, let's present our fears. Let's move from fear to faith.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. His oath, His covenant. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. He then is all my hope and stay. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
When He shall come,
when He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of
all. Let's pray this morning. Let's go before the Lord. Let's give Him the things that we're fearing right now. Let's give Him situations and different things that are happening in our life that's causing anxiety, that's causing grief, that's causing worry and pain. And let's ask God to move us from that place of fear and into faith. And especially help us in that place where fear and faith are coexisting, where there's a battle going on. between the two, like in David. And let's go to his word. Let's remember all the other Psalms says. Let's remember all of his benefits. Let's go before him. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers and go through therapies. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community. They're battling illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that's battling through illness, non-cancer related, and also people that are have contacted COVID. Let's just continue to lift them up before the Lord. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's pray for our city. Let's lift up our government and let's pray for wisdom and among the politicians as well as the medical professionals as they come with a good plan to help our city during this time. Let's continue to pray against the wealth gap. Let's pray for revival. Let's lift up churches all over. Let's pray for our friends here, Sports Services, Shanty, YWAM, Sons and Daughters, Stand Asia, God Catering, Mother's Choice. So pray for the Korean Church. students, domestic helpers, and families in distress, and especially the families that have lost loved ones during this time through COVID. Let's pray for the God of all comfort to come. Let's lift up our staff. Let's pray that we would stay safe. We've moved ourselves into two different teams in case any of us contacts COVID. And so let's pray the teams would be separate. Let's pray that that God would keep us healthy and safe, and we'd still continue to run hard after the Lord in the midst of this time. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries, and even though they're all kind of on hold right now, let's pray the teams will continue to be built up and God will continue to move. Let's pray for our worship and sound and our AV teams. Let's pray for Pinade and Pastor Ken. And let's pray for Pastor Andrew, that's also part of this team for the Sundays. And let's pray that they would really hear from God, and even the song choices, and they would really lead us in worship, even though we're online. Let's lift up our ladies who are pregnant. Now let's ask that God would continue to touch their bodies and really protect the babies, and they would really enjoy this time. A lot of them are first-time moms, so let's lift up. Let's pray for house church meeting tonight. Blue Pool, First Street, Fontana, Happier Valley, Hopewell, K-House, Opie Grove, and Princeton. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to come. Let's pray for the presence of the Lord to minister. Let's pray for our leaders, and there'll be a lot of creativity as we're online. Pray for all the internet connections. Let's just pray for God's hand, and the people will really draw close to Him and to one another. Pray. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you that in the midst of our fear, God, that faith arises, Lord. As it happens when we focus on you, when we start to praise you, when we go back into your word and we remember, God, what you've done for us. Remember, Lord, of your faithfulness, God, that you're good to us, that you are for us, God. You're not against us, Lord. And so instead of going to our normal devices of coping, help us to come to that place of prayer and praise, God. Or always lead us in prayer and praise. Whenever difficulty comes, help us to operate in prayer and praise. And thus move us from fear, God, and loneliness into faith and trust and victory. Now, we know that you're with us. We know that you're going to move in the midst of us. We come in that kind of confidence, God, that David had. No matter how dire the situation looks, Lord, our city, God, it's not looking good right now, Lord. But Lord, you are with us. You're doing something in the midst of us, God. And so we look to you, God, in the midst of this time. We thank you. We love you. Watch over us. Watch over our city, Lord. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. And we'll see you tomorrow morning. Have a safe day, everyone. Bye.